We often miss the heart of God and God's intentions. God cares for us greatly. There's no love that surpasses this kind of compassion and love that he has for us. We miss intentions. We miss the heart of God. We miss each other over and over and over again. It was a normal day. I was just getting out of class. I was finishing my education. It had been a difficult week of studies, exams, and I just wanted a break. I wanted to go have lunch. We'd heard about a new bakery in town that was serving ciabatta sandwiches. And so a friend of mine, good friend of mine, asked if she wanted to go just hang out and eat a sandwich together. And she agreed, and we set up a time for me to pick her up to go. And so I went, and she got in the car, and we're both students. We both came out of class. We're just friends. And I said to her, when she got in the car, I said, "So what can you afford?" Both poor students. I said, "What can you afford?" It was a really bad question to ask someone who thought they were going on a date. "What can I afford?" she asked me with confusion all over her face. And then she said, "Is this not a date?" Awkward. I explained in the kindest way I could that I had thought we were just friends and fellow poor students who wanted to hang out over a meal. I apologized for the confusion and offered to pay for her sandwich regardless. I just wanted to hang out over a good ciabatta. She then said something after a long sigh that I'll never forget. She said, "It's so hard finding a husband." This was followed with, I'm sure, a look of panic on my face. And so she decided just to avoid the meal completely, and she very sweetly and gracefully got out of the car to avoid any further pain and hurt. Just so you'll know, we did stay friends, and she eventually found the perfect guy, not me. And we never spoke again about this ciabatta moment. After she got out of the car, though, I just sat there, just, you know, and just took a deep breath and just went, "Lord, how did I miss that? How did I miss that?" And I realized that, you know, often I miss people's intentions. She missed mine. I missed hers. We were clueless. We do this with God, right? We miss the heart and intentions of God over and over and over again. And we feel awkward around God. We feel awkward when we hear God loves you. We feel awkward when we hear that God actually wants to be with us. But that is exactly why he went to the cross, was so that we could be with him, he could be with us, so that we could be one. The heart of God is that he loves us with a love that is hard to even measure. He loves us. He wants us to be with him. We often mistake the cross for merely just that moment of that Jesus Christ, died so that we could escape hell. And that is true. Praise the Lord that we don't have to burn forever. But the purpose of the cross was so that we could be with him, so that we could be in fellowship with him. Before Jesus Christ went to the cross, he's had a meal with his disciples. He's been with them. They've shared the Lord's Supper together, the first ever Lord's Supper. And then he prays in the hearing of his disciples, and that's why we have it recorded in the book of John. John 17, he says this, "After saying these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, 'Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give you glory back. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one of you given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave to me. Now, Father, give me the glory, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began.'" Now, this is eternal life. that he gives us. Eternal life, it's full life, it's joyful life, it's peaceful life, it's abundant living, it's full and meaningful, it's a new birth. It's coming from the dead ourselves to a new life. It's breathing again. God's plan was to create and redeem billions of souls. And you realize when he prayed this prayer, you and I had not been born yet, but he was making a way for you and me so that we could enjoy life and we could be with him and he could be with us and we could enjoy what living truly is all about in the presence of God. Eternal life is in his presence. It's only through him. He continues to pray. He says, I'm praying not only for those disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me. Father, I pray that they would be one, as you are in me. Father, I am in you, and may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I gave them the glory you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. Jesus prays, I did what you sent me to do. I've done it. Now, Father, show who I really am so I can show the world who you really are. So there's no confusion. I've already put you on display here on earth. God shows his glory most clearly at the cross. When Jesus dies and then rises again to rescue people, that's the moment everything comes into focus. It opens the way for us to be with him, to actually see his glory, and to understand something deeper, the way the Father has loved the Son forever. And at the center of it all, Jesus is saying, I want them to see how much you love me, Father. I want them to see how much I'm loved by you, and to that degree, how much you love them. It's motivated by love. It's motivated by this extraordinary desire for us to be in his presence, for us to delight in him and for him to delight in us. That's living. That's the purpose of the cross. Humanity was originally in relationship with God in creation, right? Lost in the fall. But through the cross of Christ, God made reconciliation possible. Again, now inviting every person to step back into that relationship, to breathe again, to be alive, to truly be alive, to truly live. And that's the invitation of our God. Maybe you've lost something significant in your life. Or you feel like you've missed out on something you were meant to have. Maybe you're hoping for reconciliation in a broken relationship, restoration of something that was rightfully yours, or even a kind of resurrection from a dead-end job or a lifeless relationship, or a season that feels hopeless, into something new and full of life. Deep down, all of us are hoping, maybe even holding on tightly for things to be made right. Jesus makes it right. Jesus provides this way for things to be made right, for us to breathe again, for us to come from death into life. God is inviting us to be reconciled to God. It was because of his love, his desire for us to be with him, is why the cross was necessary. Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote it this way. He said in 2 Corinthians 5, Christ's love controls us. Just like Christ was controlled by love, inspired by love to come and pull us to himself, Paul says Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for who? For all. We also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we stop evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and new life has begun. We miss it. We miss the intentions of God. We think from a human perspective. We need to understand that Christ came to give his life because he loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son to pull us to himself, that we would be with him to experience the sweetness of him. All this is a gift from God, Paul goes on to say in verse 18, who brought us back to himself through Christ, God redeeming humanity. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Praise the Lord. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Be reconciled to God. So we are Christ's ambassadors, boldly proclaiming this great news of Jesus Christ. We speak for Christ and we plead, come back to God. Come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. This is the gospel, right? It's the invitation, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that we would come back to him, that we would come into relationship with him. God planned this way before we were born, right? This is God's intention long before we were here. God provided this way. God prayed for you and for me, that we would be with him and that we would see how deeply loved we are by his Father and how deeply he is loved. Come back to God. Come back to God. Romans 8:29 says, for God knew his people in advance and he chose them to become like his son. Having chosen them, he called them, justified them, and gave them his glory. Ephesians 1, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ. You see, the intention in the heart of God is before time, before we came, Jesus had a plan for you and for me to redeem us. The plan all along was for us to be with him. But our sin separates us, right? Our sin is our choice that we make, and we are separated. And therefore, we feel awkward when we hear this story because we really don't understand the depth of it, the sweetness of it, the invitation of God. But Christ has created in us this longing to be made whole once again. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11 says, he has planted eternity in the human heart. And he's pulling us back to himself. In the words of the Blaise Pascal, the famous French mathematician who said in French, I'll read it to you in English, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man which cannot be filled by any created thing but only by God, the Creator made known through Jesus Christ. He gives us a moral conscience, and so we are aware that something's off, but we're still confused. Romans 2, verse 14, for when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are law to themselves. Even though they do not have the law, they show that the work of the law is written on their hearts. Romans 1:20, for ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. We are abundantly aware that something is off. We're also drawn to this God who's pulling us to himself. We are invited to come, and God has made a way. God has prayed for us. God is drawing us to himself so that we will be with him and that we will enjoy him and that he will enjoy us. That's the plan, and that's the path that he provided through the cross. We see it in the stories he told the prodigal son who takes his dad's inheritance, runs off and squanders it. And then when he is left with nothing, he wonders if he can come back home. When he comes back home, what happens? His father sees him at a distance and runs to him and says, come, my son. The prodigal son just wants to be a servant in his house, but the father says, no, you are my son. Come. And they celebrate his return. This is the heart of God, is that he celebrates our return. Come back to God. Jesus is not wanting to hold our sin over us. He's paid the price of our sin. He's paid the punishment over it. And so he says, welcome home. Come back. Come back. I love you. I want us to be together. May we not miss the heart of God today. The intention of God is that He wants us to experience His love. Maybe your greatest hesitation to come back to God is that you're not really sure of how valued you really are, of how special you are in the eyes of God. You don't know God's intentions. And not understanding intentions in the heart of God is dangerous, because we stay away from Him because we're pretty sure that if we stood before Him, our sins would be so much that there's no one, especially God, who would accept us and take us back. But the Father throws a party for the sinner. Throws a party for the loser son. And Jesus Christ wants to do that for you and for me. Come. Come back, He says. Come back. Romans 5, therefore, just as sin came to the world through one man, death spread to all men because all sin. But the free gift of God is that because of one man's trespasses, one man's payment, we're brought to justification. Romans 5. Our sin separates, though, right? And we've chosen to live in this state of confusion. We choose to stay in this consistent stage of awkwardness where we don't really know how to come back or how to relate to God. We're confused as to God's intentions. We stay confused because of our sin, because of our choices. Isaiah 59, verse 2 says, it's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, He has turned away and will not listen anymore. Romans 3, 23, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short. And then there's a spiritual disconnection that takes place. And we are unclear as to exactly God's heart and God's motivations. But God invites us nevertheless, and He says, come, so that you can breathe again, so that you can live. Come, I want to be with you. The offer still stands. Your sins have been paid for. Accept the free gift. Come. Romans 6, verses 4 through 5, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with Him in His death, we will also be raised to life as He was. God is in the business of restoration, of changing our lives and pulling us back to Himself. And this is a cosmic truth. This is for eternity. This promise. God answers the prayers of His Son who said, may they be with me. And so you're invited, based on God's prayers, based on God's sacrifice, you're invited to be in a relationship with Him. Today, we are celebrating resurrection. How wonderful it must have been to have experienced that, to have seen the living Jesus after having walked with Him, then to see Him alive. However, for most of us, although if you are a child of God, you know that someday you will see Him face to face. You know that someday you're going to be risen to new life. But the reality is that for you and for me, we live, essentially, we live in Saturday, before Sunday, before the resurrection. We are anticipating what has been promised to us. We are anticipating this gift. We're anticipating this reconciliation with the Father, the Creator of the world. We're anticipating it. We're counting on it. We know it's going to happen, but you and I are sitting in Saturday. Jesus is killed on a Friday. And all those who sat with Him, all those who followed Him, saw the miracles, heard everything He said before He was put on the cross, sat in this deathly silence, this confusion between His death and His resurrection. We know this is true. This is verified countless times all through Scripture, that no one really understood what was happening between the death and the resurrection. No one really understood the intentions in the heart of God on Saturday. I'm afraid that you and I are still in that Saturday. We live in a troubled world. We live with the reality of relationships that are not restored. We live with pain, hurt, suffering. We see a world that's at war. We look at our own personal lives and we just wish it could be slightly better or maybe a whole lot better. That's our reality. We know resurrection's coming for us, but it hasn't happened yet. Acts 3, verse 21 tells us that Jesus must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything. So we are now in this holding pattern where Jesus sits and waits so that more people can know him and meet him. I don't know how many billions have given their life to Christ over history, but we know there's more. There's more who still need to be born so that the party can be massive in heaven. And so Jesus tarries because there's more. There's more living. There's more people who need to experience the life of Christ. People who haven't even been created yet, they're coming. We're going to party with those in the generation to come. But it's not here yet, right? It's not here yet. You can just imagine what it was like. The Bible tells us that the disciples disbanded on Saturday. We know that the Pharisees and the Roman government wasn't really sure what had happened. After he was put on the cross, they were still uneasy. And so they sealed the tomb, right? They sealed it and they put the Roman emblem on it so that if it was broken, they would know it was broken. There was this uneasiness throughout the land. And of course, Sunday came though, right? The stone was rolled away. And then one by one, the followers of Jesus Christ, who had been his closest friends, his family, one by one began to realize, wait a minute, Jesus Christ actually rose again. He's alive. He's actually alive. When the disciples heard it from the ladies, they didn't believe him. They had to see it for themselves. Thomas had to touch, put his hands in the scar, had to touch the hand to be sure. Essentially, you had a bunch of people who are sitting in this awkward moment of, is this really true? Are these really your intentions? Did you really die and come back to life? And have you really provided a way for me to be in your presence? We sit awkwardly with Christ over and over and over again, misunderstanding his intentions. May you understand, may we fully understand the love of Christ today. God's intention is to redeem you. God's intention is to bring you to himself, to be with him, to enjoy him, and he enjoys you. It's a mutual delight fest. Christ invites us to be in his presence, and he's provided a way for it to happen. Not because you're good, but because he is good. That's how much he loved you. That's how much he loves you. God has answered and is answering the prayer of Jesus. We will see his glory. And we will see just how much God the Father loved his son, loves his son, and how much he loves us. You see, the beauty is that God the Father loves his son to a degree we can't even imagine. But that same love is afforded to us by the Father. It's not that we're getting like a sort of a broken down version of this love from God the Father. Like, here, we just come, hang out here. I'll love you. Not as much as I love my son. No, the promise is that he loves us as much as he loves his son. And he wants us to be with him. When you imagine heaven, and this is difficult for us to understand and imagine. We're not there yet. But this massive party of the billions standing, the multitudes, the Bible says, standing before the throne and just enjoying Jesus, enjoying God. We don't really get that. We don't fully understand it. But all this was the setup for that, so that that would be possible, that the billions could hang out together to enjoy the presence of God and to enjoy each other. One big party for eternity. Wow. We kind of get it. We kind of understand it. We kind of see it a little bit, pieces of it. When we're all united together on one mission, we feel a sense of unity and joy that's, you know, we can't explain. You might experience it when you go to maybe a ball game or some kind of sports event where you're all together, your team wins. Maybe when you're on a sports team together and you're winning together, that exhilaration, that fun. Maybe just to give you a piece. Maybe for you can understand it. You remember that time when you first were in love with somebody and you couldn't put a finger on and explain being in love? Who can explain being in love? It just overwhelms you. It's incredible. It's extraordinary. It'll make you stay up all night. But to enjoy this life that is so much more extraordinary, if we can only imagine, than being in love, so much more extraordinary than being at a ball game, being in the presence of God is worth it. And so God still has more people that he's planned to be in his presence. He invites us, you and me, to be part of that, but also the ones who are still coming. And for us to be part of this message, to be his ambassadors, to tell the good news that let's go live with Christ. Let's go live with him. Let's go be with him. That's why Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you, right? So that we will not be alone. In the meantime, this Saturday, this continual Saturday that we live in now, Jesus Christ says, here's my spirit. I'm with you now. And so we invest in him now. We choose to follow him now, anticipating what's coming. And we will be made perfect someday when we will see him face to face. Oh, may you not feel awkward anymore. May you know the heart and the intentions of our God. He loves you, and he wants you to be with him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. But Lord, we know we don't love you as much as we could. And Lord, we love to be in your presence, but we know there's more. And so Lord, we stay committed to you in this day. Lord, we love you, we praise you. Lord, we thank you for the extraordinary, extraordinary sacrifice that you made for us, Father, and help us to know your intentions. Help us to understand your heart. Lord Jesus, how we love you. Lord, we thank you for days like today when we can remember, when we can be together as church family, to Lord, to celebrate the incredible gift. Lord, it's in your precious and perfect name that we pray. Amen.